Hello, everyone. This is Premier Chess CEO, National Master Evan Rabin, and I am excited to be here on episode 229 of the Premier Chess Podcast, where every week we interview great chess professionals, business coaches, attorneys, other professionals who have found their passion in whatever it is that they do. This week, we have my friend and colleague, Rick Lasher, who is a personal injury attorney, one of the partners at Vertigo and Associates, PLLC, where for many years he's been representing clients in personal injury actions, including motor vehicle accidents, trip and falls, medical malpractice, and much more. He's a member of the New York State Trial Law Association, the New York State Bar Association, and many other associations. He communicates in Spanish. He has his bachelor's degree in philosophy, politics, and law from Binghamton, and his Juris Doctorate, of course, from Brooklyn Law School, like my grandfather does. So it's a little connection there. And how's everything going today?
Must have been a smart guy, your grandfather, there.
He definitely was. He practiced at Philip Neiser for many years in real estate and business, and I got a lot of my smartness from him.
Very cool. Yeah, things are going great. It's a busy time right now in the networking and personal injury world, and I'm doing my best to marry those two at the moment.
Amazing, amazing. Well, it's great to have you on the podcast. I met Rick actually a couple of years ago for Business Networking International. A great networking organization, and he's been an integral part of my network pretty much since. So I guess to start out, just wanted to, ask you a little bit more about, what personal injury law, actually entails. So I was actually in a case a couple of years ago, in a car accident, and my friend's father, actually Rocky Grossack, dad of Adam Grossack, who I went to school, is a personal injury attorney in Massachusetts. And, I kind of laughed a little bit, actually, because I was in a car accident, actually, with my former manager from Oracle, Rich. And, look, we had a case, I used my friend's father and actually his firm. But then I literally almost thought he forgot about the case, and then, 2 years later, he called me out of the blue, being like, hey, we just settled for $5,000. I was like, whoa. Where did that come from? I didn't really know, kind of what happened in between, So actually in my former BNI group that I was part of, John Blythe, who was a personal injury attorney in that chapter, he once actually gave a talk about how, about kind of the whole, litigation process of a personal injury case. But could you talk a little bit more about that? What actually happens from, the time that there's a case to a settlement, in a SparkNotes version?
Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack there is really the answer. But I think that I will be better. I think the whole idea would be better served by me explaining a little bit more about how I'm taking the personal injury game to a different level here. So basically for the last 10 to 12 years or so, I've been practicing in personal injury. That is car accidents, premises liability, medical malpractice, construction accidents, all kinds of these type of things. However, I think during the pandemic, especially when I wasn't in court and I wasn't doing the trials, which for me was the good part of litigation was, doing the trials and getting the experience and doing all that. But while that wasn't going on, you know, my job became a lot of paperwork, and it became a lot of arguing with insurance companies and defense attorneys and judges and clerks and everybody. And I just found a very huge distaste for that. You know, I found like that really wasn't what I wanted to do with my law degree. You know, so what I've developed now over the last, let's say, year and change, is a new company that I'm calling MAL, which stands for Medical and Legal Liaisons. And essentially what this is, and the reason that it comes out of personal injury, is that you know, throughout exactly what you're saying, through my networking and other organizations that I do, and I try to get myself out there with outings and things of this nature as much as possible. You know, you mentioned BNI. I'm the president of Chapter 64 in Manhattan, which is you know, a 31 person chapter that did north of $3.5 million in closed business last year. So you know, we're definitely networking at high levels at this point. And so what I've done with that knowledge is use try to what I'm trying to do is integrate the networking aspect and what I know about personal injury, which is, you know, everything. So like now what I'm trying to do is grow my medical network on one side of my business so that I can make sure that the clients and the people that are actually hurt by these traumatic events go to the best and brightest doctors that there are in all type of specialties, and that these people are available in a geographically huge area. You know, in terms of like Long Island, the city, North, New Jersey, you know, down, you know, whatever's necessary. You know, I'm more and more able to expand my network in terms of having the ability to get these people to the proper places for treatment, for to make sure that their case is handled properly. And similarly, on the legal side. So obviously I have my partnerships, and there are people that I've been working with for the last 10 years. And I'm also developing new partnerships with other attorneys who have the same issue. You know, their clients are not happy because the places that they're sent for therapy are far away. And they need a new system where these people can be treated properly, quickly, efficiently, and that the cases are properly worked up. So all in all, in the last, let's say, 6 months or so, I've started to develop this company in terms of having the ability to now move cases both from legal to medical and from medical to legal, you know, in a quick and efficient manner. So that's kind of really what I'm doing at the moment.
Yeah, well, and I do think that you know, obviously there's a huge power of networking you know, out there. And you know, look, I will say your group in particular, 64, you know, is great. You know, look, I know a lot of people from BNI. I've actually had as you may know, the founder of BNI, Ivan Meisner, on the podcast you know, before. You know, not in BNI at the moment, but you know, clearly there's you know, a big benefit you know, of it. Many of the closest people you know, in my network, like yourself, I've met through BNI, you know, including my friend Josh McGoldrick, who's actually you know, my fitness trainer now. He's been, of course, on the podcast. Actually, my friend who happens to be meeting in an hour you know, after this, Eric Mendelson, who's, you know, also been on the podcast. And then of course, you know, someone who's actually in your chapter, probably the biggest networker I know, Leona Krasin, who's been on my podcast and also just actually did a prenup for my wife and I just a few weeks ago, and did an amazing job at it. So, Stacy and I
He's the best,
are
no
very
doubt.
grateful to Leona. So, you know, she's you know, a shark. So, yeah, no, I definitely see you know, obviously a big value of you know, kind of coming together and you know, like, you know, givers gain, right? You know, growing. So, before, you know, talk about, you know, kind of like other things, you know, I guess you know, you've been actually you know, a president of your chapter for a while in BNI. I guess one thing that, you know, I've heard in the past is you know, there could be, you know, sort of issues with like attorneys advertising. So how do you do you see like sort of like networking, DNI and other like organizations advertising, or do you see it as like different, or how do you sort of see like as attorney advertising versus networking and other ways of like promoting?
Yeah, attorney advertising, I see as completely in a different category than what we do, especially with BNI, or especially with any of these networking groups that I'm a part of, EOA or any of these. I think primarily the difference is that it doesn't only cost money to have an ad. It costs money to have an ad. You have an ad out, it's the same commercial or whatever it is each time. And it's played on some sort of media, situation where they themselves don't have to actually be there in order to do the promoting. I think it's actually quite the opposite, with what we do. Take BNI for as a perfect example. I mean, every single Tuesday morning since 2013, I have been getting up, to be somewhere or on the computer at 7 a.m. until 8:30. It happens 45 plus times a year, plus visiting other chapters, plus going to events and happy hours and things of that nature. It's an absolutely boots on the ground, type of situation. There's no like, oh, you play, put my face up on a picture parade it around and everybody like calls me. That's a much different type of advertising than what we do. What we do is real relationship making and connecting with people on a human level. This is not like a da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na- XYZ place, and he was great, and I know this person who did a case with him in the past, or something like that, you know, versus the other stuff.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And for sure, B&I is not, about advertising, per se, right? It's about networking and also, professional development and other things as well. Sure, could it also promote your brand? Of course, yes, it can. But that's really not like the only thing. This actually reminds me of a conversation I once had with Marty Katz, who's been on the podcast, a great branding specialist. We were in a mastermind group together, and I once said, like, yeah, like one of our goals is to promote yourself. And we explained like all that, certainly like part of it, but the main thing is to kind of help grow each other and teach each other. And yes, only as like a corollary, then yes, of course we get to know each other a little bit more and sort of want to promote each other a little bit. So in your years of litigation, you've been at it for quite a while. How have you seen maybe something like chess to relate to the litigation process, in terms of either judgment training or critical thinking or intuition or however you might see it. Do you see any like parallels between chess and litigation?
Oh, good God. I couldn't, I actually can't think of any better parallel between chess, honestly, between chess than litigation, for chess than litigation, because there, I mean, the reality is that our trials are exactly that. It's a battle of wits against and you need a certain strategy, and you have to use that strategy in order to prevail. The only difference is that a set of judges, so to speak, determine who the winner is of our game, whereas yours is has an actual winner. But I mean, the reality is that if you do the right thing and you have the right moves, so to speak, then you're going to win. You can be pretty certain of that. And I think that that is the perfect parallel, actually, for what you do. Crazy.
Yeah, and I think that's, important to know. I mean, as you know, we do actually do classes at Crane Mellette, one of the top business law firms, litigation law firms in the country. And one thing that we like to kind of talk about is on the one hand, someone like yourself, knows law, in and out, especially in the personal injury department. But look, at the same time, when you're practicing all the time, right, you need to sort of think at your feet, so being able to play something like chess, it's similar. Right, you might have studied a lot, you might know a lot, but of course each game is different, and you need to sort of think a little differently. So interesting. So could you talk maybe just a little bit about one case maybe that you at least on a high level, had where it was maybe a little challenge, and you, how you sort of, overcame that challenge.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would say that the one that comes to mind immediately is this case of the 16-year-old. His name was Josh Mileto. This happened back in the summer of 2017, August 11th to be exact. And basically, what happened was he was at a football practice, and him and four other teammates were doing a relay race where they carry a 400-pound log on their shoulders and basically run, 30 yards across the field. And that particular day, one of the kids in the back slipped. And the log came down on my client's neck and killed him, 16 years old. So that happened in the summer of 2017. And I, when I was at the time, I was at a place called Dankner Milstein. I got a phone call, again through different networking channels, as it always happens, basically, saying that these people were potentially looking for an attorney. And even though I was still fairly young by legal standards, at the time, I spoke to them. I went out there to and met them. The case was in Sachem, at which is out east on Long Island, in Suffolk County. And basically, and again, this was all reported in the news. I had actually seen the story on ESPN the night before, so I had known about it. And I basically told the family, like, don't move a muscle. Like, I'll be out there as soon as possible. And a couple hours later, I was crying with them in their kitchen about the whole thing that had happened only a few days prior. And basically from then on, we were sort of lifelong partners in the quest to get justice for both the family and to make sure that this never happens again. We settled the case in January of 2021. Just before trial, for an undisclosed seven-figure amount, and basically what the family has been doing since then, which I've been trying to assist with as well, is to take the case to Albany. They're going to try to make a Josh's Law type thing, where we make sure that whereby we make sure that this never happens to any other families ever again, to put the right things in place. And it all stems from this one incident and this one case. And again, this was written up by all kinds of newspapers and news outlets and things of that nature. So it's readily available to be looked up. And that's probably, I would say, like my biggest most famous case at the moment.
Amazing. And I think ultimately we always look towards success, right? And one thing that is interesting for me when it comes to personal injury attorneys It's pretty much all or nothing, right? You often take cases where you're not, getting up anything up front, and you're just waiting for, a percentage, at the end, right? It's in a way almost like, a little bit like sales, right? You work on a deal, quite a bit, and then they don't end up using you, and then okay, you wasted. A lot of time and in some cases money. So, could you talk about, maybe a little bit of the pressure of, doing a lot of work, maybe even years for a case and, potentially earning nothing, from it?
What was the question? Sorry, I missed the question.
Yeah, so I said, right, in personal injury, I know one thing that I find fairly interesting is you take on a lot of cases what do you call it again when you take a case but like you'll get a percentage later?
Yeah, contingent fees, which is
Contingency.
true, which is
Thank you.
everything that we do. Yes.
I'm not an attorney,
No,
so
no, that's
a
exactly what
contingency.
it is. Everything, everything, not just most.
Right.
Yeah.
So, pretty much any case you take on, right? So, just for me, that it's almost scary to me.
No, it
and
is,
I
definitely.
know, for instance, like even as a salesperson, right? I'll spend a lot of time, working on a deal, drafting up a contract, negotiating this and that. And then you lose the deal, it sucks, but you're it's even like more intense. You could work literally potentially a couple of years on a deal, right, and not
Yes.
get anything for it,
Yes.
in theory. So how do you sort of deal with that pressure? Is that ever like burdensome to you?
Well, number one, it's not for the faint of heart. You're right about that. You definitely need to have a little bit of an iron stomach in order to be at the top of these type of firms, because the reality is, as you say, you never know where the next payday is coming from or when it will come or, whenever it is. So, in that way, it is a difficult business that way. You try to take the strongest cases, and you try not to take cases that you don't believe in or that you don't feel have the value, to work on them for a couple of years potentially, and get one third of the total recovery. But it is like you say, every fee is a contingent fee. So for especially the first year or two or maybe even more, the new personal injury attorney is not making money. It's like you're waiting for those settlements, and you're waiting for your clients to treat, and you're waiting for the notes to come in, and the case to be synthesized, and the insurance company to assess it, and all of this stuff takes a chunk of time each. And so, yeah, it's definitely one of those things where you've got to have some backing in some way, financially speaking, definitely. And then secondarily speaking, you need a pipeline of cases that once they start to settle, you hope that they continue to settle, ad infinitum,
Yeah, and I think that's another thing to consider too. When I was at Oracle, my vice president, Kevin McGee, used to say all the time, there's only one way to overcome a lost deal. Go find another one. So,
Exactly.
having that constant pipeline is important, right? If you, that way, yeah, if you lose the case, like okay, things happen, and yeah, we move on, to the next, basically. So, yeah, really, I want to thank you for, taking time talking about, the typical process of a personal injury case, the power of networking, attorney advertising, some of the parallels between self and litigation, contingency cases, and more. Is there anything else you'd like to add, while you're on the podcast today?
Now, if anybody needs anything, feel free to reach out. Our website for Mall is going to be ready to go momentarily, and I'm happy to make any connections anytime anyone can reach out to me ever. I'm readily available and happy to do so. And really appreciate you having me on. Greatly appreciate your time, really.
Yeah, well, my sincere pleasure. I love finding again other truly individuals like myself. I worked at Oracle for a couple of years working at a very big firm. I was at Rapid7, another big firm, and then left to do my passion. You yourself, you worked at a couple different firms. Kind of quickly grew and became a partner. I would say fairly quickly in your career, actually. You're obviously very passionate to what you do. And lastly, if anyone wants to reach out, God forbid they're in a personal injury case, how can people get a hold of you?
Absolutely. There's many ways. The best way is just to call me right on my cell phone, which I give to all my clients because it is just the thing that I'm with all the time. And these kind of people need to be able to reach their attorney whenever possible. So my cell, 631-252-6001, or they can always email me at rick@ricklasherlaw.com.
I love it. You're readily accessible and open, which I think is important. To really help your clients as much as you can. So thank you for your time, and it was great interviewing you, and look forward to being in touch.
Greatly appreciate you. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.